in the Gospels unless there is a need for people to hear it. You can take that to the bank. If he says something, you should listen, because he's saying something. He's not just talking. And he says something tonight at the very beginning of this gospel. It's from the 14th chapter of John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. There was need for him to say that to his followers then. There is need for him to say that to us now, because the word of God is not a dead word. It's not locked in a book and in the ancient past. It's a living word. Hebrews, it says the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a living word. And so that word that we just heard proclaimed, this gospel, the words of Jesus are relevant for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. That might be all you need to hear tonight. Maybe I should just stop. If Bishop Vedder was here, he'd be like, yeah, just stop. You don't need to say anything else. Just stop right there. Right? I'm going to say more. He's not here. So here's the context, folks. All right, 14th chapter of John's gospel is toward the end. It's the Last Supper discourses. And Jesus is seeking to reassure his apostles, but also to prepare them for a very uncertain future. They know something's coming. Jesus has been alluding to his death. He's been speaking in strange terms, and they know there's a significant shift in what he is about. And how that relates to them, they're not sure. And so Jesus reassures them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me. Get ready, but trust. The newness that'll come, trust. And so he has to go forward, right? He's not just going to keep things the same because he has a mission to accomplish. And of course, we know, but remember, the apostles didn't know this at the time. We know the story. Jesus goes to the cross, he goes into the tomb, and then he rises. They didn't know that. We know, but they didn't. And so he says, I have to go ahead of you to prepare a place. Where I'm going, you know the way. And then enter Saint Thomas. He's a saint, all right? He's not doubting Thomas. He's Saint Thomas the Apostle. He's one of the great saints. It's awesome. I can't wait to meet him. Because he has the guts to ask what everybody else is thinking. Where I'm going, you know the way. Probably the other apostles were like, yeah, deep. Thanks, Jesus. And Thomas is like, where are you going? What do you mean? We don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? He asks what everybody else is thinking. He just has the courage to say it. That's why I like him. And that elicits one of the great responses in all of Scripture. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. Memorize it. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, friends, if we know him who is the way, then the way we walk in this world will be different. I want to say that again. If we know him who is the way, then the way we walk in this world will be different. And not just kind of different. I'm talking qualitatively different if we know Jesus. Not just quantitatively different. And let me dwell on that for just a second. Qualitative difference versus quantitative difference. I think a lot of us might fall into the danger of just including our relationship with God in a sort of quantitative way, as if it was one other thing among the other things of our life. Like I have my work, I have my friends, I have my hobbies, I have my relationship with God, and I have my Netflix subscription. And it just kind of slid in there, like one other thing. It might be a nice add-on, but it's just another thing. Oh, I make some time for God on Sunday. Or I make some time for God every day in prayer. But it's not just one other thing, and not even just one other good thing, and not even just the best thing among all the other things. It's not a thing. It's a relationship with a real person who's risen from the dead and is alive. And that relationship brings a qualitative shift to every other thing in our life. Because that relationship grounds it all and gives it different meaning, and we walk differently among the things of this world if we have a real and alive relationship with Jesus Christ. He invites us into that relationship. It changes everything about us. But it all goes back to who Jesus is. We always need to go deeper into knowing him in a more complete way, in a more profound way. That's why his words to Philip are important. Philip has a great request. He says, "Show us the Father. That'll be enough for us." And then Jesus says to him, "Have I been with you so long, and still you don't know me, Philip? Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know who I am?" That's a great question for all of us to ponder in this time. Do we know Jesus? Do we know him? Not just about him, but do we know him? See, and he is laboring to know us. That's the thing. He's not playing hide and seek. He'll reveal himself to anyone who seeks him. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Right? If you seek him in real relationship, you will find him, because he is laboring to reveal himself at every moment of our lives. And that's a great thing to dive into in this time, when so many other things are taken off the table. What do we do with this extra time? How do we engage our attention in a real way with the Lord to go deeper into relationship with him? I promise you, he is waiting to reveal himself to you in a more profound way than you have ever experienced in your life. But it goes back to knowing him in a profound way as the beginning and the end, the source and the summit of everything. So some scripture, because that's, by the way, how we get to know him. St. Jerome said, every word of scripture speaks of the word. Every word, little w, speaks of the word, big W. Jesus is the word made flesh. And that's what John says at the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. Jesus is really important. All things came to be through him. St. Paul picks this up in Colossians, and he says, "For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. All things were created through him," and listen now, "and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So things aren't just created through him, they're created for him, and he holds everything together. And then we get words from the Lord himself in the book of Revelation. And he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." This is who Jesus is. And I know it's like, okay, well, that's nice. It's not a scripture class. It's not theology class, right? What does that mean for us? It means everything. It means everything, because it's quite the relationship to have with Jesus, the one who created all things, the one through whom all things exist, the one for whom all things exist, the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord of the start and the Lord of the finish and the Lord of every point in between. That's who we get to have relationship with. That's not a minor thing. Don't take it for granted. Don't overlook it. Don't let it be just one thing among the other busy things that occupy your life. It's the thing, relationship with him. The thing, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You know, in a few minutes, you'll hear me pray one of my favorite, absolute favorite lines of the Mass. It's the prayer that concludes every Eucharistic prayer. The priest holds up the Lord, the body and the blood. And then in the Latin, it's known as the Per Ipsum, just because that's the two words that begin the prayer. And you'll know, students, you know, I love this prayer. Through him, and with him, and in him. Through him, and with him, and in him. Everything we do should flow from the identity that comes from finding ourselves through him and with him and in him. Everything we do. Because if we're living our lives through him, with him, and in him, our being changes. Qualitative difference. Everything we do. And also everything we face. All the difficulties of this life, we face them radically different if we live through him and with him and in him. The joys, different through him and with him and in him. All of our time on this earth, what's worthy of our lives, what we live for, what we give ourselves over to, everything is different when it is done through him and with him and in him. The way we live in this world, and especially in this time of pandemic, it's gonna be different, qualitatively different, because we'll be living in radical union with our Lord, with our Savior, with our friend Jesus. He's your friend, he's your Lord, he's your Savior. Dive deep into relationship with him. Ask him to reveal himself to you so that you might know him, not just about him. Don't just hear about him, hear his voice. Don't just know about him as someone else talks to you about him. Know him in a unique and beautiful relationship. He's your friend, he's your Lord, he's your Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life.